A return to the abacus?
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. It's been a rough week for stock markets around the world. We told you about Japan's problems. A flood of internet selling shut down the Nikkei. And in the U.S., the technology index, the NASDAQ, had its own computer problems. Electronic trading is supposed to be the wave of the future. So should investors be nervous about all this? Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
It was a sudden surge in trading that overwhelmed computers at the Tokyo Stock Exchange this week. Just a few months back, a software glitch shut the whole system down for almost a day. A computer error at NASDAQ Wednesday prevented more than 80,000 trades from being reported and caused several financial websites to list incorrect prices. But market consultant Larry Tabb says don't blame electronic trading. He says even the manual New York Stock Exchange is vulnerable to computer snafus.
In fact, the amount of technology needed to run the New York Stock Exchange is actually greater than the amount of technology used to run NASDAQ.
That will likely increase when the exchange completes its merger with Fully Electronic Archipelago. So were investors better off in the days of ticker tape? Tab says hardly. Less than 40 years ago, stock exchanges closed every Wednesday for several months just to catch up with paperwork. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Here's something that will almost certainly make investors feel better. One of the 12 regional Federal Reserve leaders just spit it out yesterday. The Fed is probably, almost, done raising interest rates. San Francisco Fed President Janet Yellen says that is unless there are more signs of inflation. But she's optimistic. The Fed is expected to raise rates another quarter point at the end of this month, Alan Greenspan's last day on the job. The Senate's talking about indecency on television at the moment. You've probably heard that cable and satellite operators are offering these family-friendly packages now. But at yesterday's hearings, lawmakers cried, "I want my ESPN." Stacey Vanek-Smith explains.
Members of the Senate Commerce Committee say the family-friendly packages offered by Comcast, Time Warner, and DirecTV aren't football-friendly. A sports event did play a part in lawmakers leaning on cable providers to offer these packages, says Television Week's John Lafayette.
The Janet Jackson incident with the Republican Congress has put a lot more muscle behind the ability to regulate what's on the air.
Lawmakers say a family package without ESPN won't sell. Cable providers say ESPN isn't always PG. Besides, it's expensive and would drive up the package's price. Studies haven't shown much of a market for family packages. As for sports, ESPN took in about $5 billion last year. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
You give chocolates during courtship. You eat ice cream when you get dumped. Hey, maybe Nestle's onto something here. The Swiss company, famous for its candy, is now the world's largest ice cream maker. Yesterday, Nestle completed a deal to buy Dreyer's ice cream brand. The company now claims 17% scoop of the world's ice cream market. Love is a rocky road, my friends. Wall Street bounced back a little Thursday thanks to some good earnings reports. The Dow finished up 25 points to 10,880. The S&P 500 index climbed 7 to 1285. And the NASDAQ gained 22 to 2301. This is Marketplace. In frigid cities like Minneapolis, parks become outdoor ice rinks in the winter. From the job files, meet the human Zamboni.
My name is Ken Mitchell. I'm a park keeper, and I do the ice maintenance during the winter and golf course maintenance during the summer. The early stage is just a bare bones park, and we're just hand sprinkling, trying to create a base. Once you have your rink flooded, the daily routine is dragging a hose out, and probably you might give it two coats in the morning. So yeah, I make this walk every morning out to my little manhole here and pull about five, six sections of hose out to reach over to my hockey rink. Some people try to avoid doing this type of maintenance because it is kind of physical work. And I haven't had to make ice. You know, I've had other choices in my 29 years. I kind of like doing it. It's kind of fun.
Angela Frucci produced today's job files. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by The Economist, the weekly publication of international news with commentary and analysis on world politics, business and finance, technology and the arts, on newsstands and at economist.com. Market data and news brought to you by Reuters. The facts without spin as they happen. Reuters helps you stay in the know now.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. This Sunday, Bolivia's new president takes office. Evo Morales will be the country's first indigenous leader in five centuries. At least a dozen heads of state will be at the inauguration, but not President Bush. Morales has tweaked Washington with his promise to nationalize Bolivia's huge natural gas reserve. From the Marketplace America's desk at WLRN, Dan Gretsch reports.
Evo Morales has put foreigners on notice. The country's 54 trillion cubic feet of natural gas, the second largest reserve in South America, belongs to the Bolivian people. His populist threats to seize property, yank contracts, and even take over foreign wellheads has energy firms sweating. Analysts say investment is already slowed down in the month since Morales was elected. Tulane professor Donnelly Van Cott says Morales may talk tough, but above all, he's a pragmatist.
He is a very smart man who has very deftly been able to change himself and change his movement. When he needs to be the militant, fiery cheerleader for the dispossessed, he can do that. And I think he has the ability to be pragmatic and moderate and to reach out to new groups.
Morales' recent world tour offers a portrait of a man trying to balance competing interests. His first two stops played to his leftist base. He met with Cuba's Fidel Castro and Venezuela's Hugo Chavez, socialist leaders who despise the U.S. And in a nod to his indigenous supporters, Morales greeted world leaders in his now signature striped alpaca sweater rather than a suit and tie. But most of his 10 days abroad were spent calming the fears of business partners in Europe, China, and Brazil. This reflects a harsh reality about Bolivia. The country's too poor to extract its own natural gas. It needs the help of outsiders. Michael Lettieri is with the Center on Hemispheric Affairs. He says Morales is trying to hold together South America's most polarized nation.
My real deep concern is that he's going to get in that situation where he can't please anyone. The opposition is too strong, and his supporters' hopes are too ardent.
Morales told foreign leaders his country's interested in more than just money. After five centuries of non-indigenous rule, his people want respect. George Washington professor Kevin Healy.
Evo Morales is three parts, one part Muhammad Ali, one part Geronimo, and one part Che Guevara.
Muhammad Ali in his swagger and defiance, Geronimo in his defense of indigenous interests against the white man, and Che Guevara in his call for a revolution of the poor.
He's also a realist. I don't think he's going to try to really have a real showdown and confrontation with the United States.
But with an expectant population demanding a quick fix, avoiding that showdown may be far harder than getting elected. From Miami, I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy your weekend.
American Public Media.
Should Americans be afraid?
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.